Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
And no one leaves until we have calls and we have fun. Back here at WEEI Afternoons. This is one of the many opens we debated on a text chain last night.
That was a first. I'm not going to lie. A show that hasn't started debating on the intro. The problem was Ken gave us four options.
Yeah.
You give us two.
Absolutely.
You gave us four options, and which one do you like the best? And it was, and then we were confused on which ones we were talking about.
Yeah.
And
chaos.
It was, I've never seen a text chain.
It was chaos.
And I'm playing them for my girlfriend. I'm like, which one do you like?
Me too. And I played it for my wife and kids.
You know what? I like this one. No, you know what? Now play that other one. So, I mean, I played the hell out of these intros for her. And I still struggled on which one I like best. They all kind of sound the same. I'm not going to lie, but
they're all fine.
They're all great.
Yeah.
So they're all good. So guess what we should probably do is just continue to fold them into the dough over the course of the week or months to come.
And then after we finished with our, you know, non-ending battle back and forth on text, it was like, wow, why don't we just let the listeners vote? And I was like, oh, boy, I don't know if we want to go down that road. We may do that at some point. For now, here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll just continue to use them all because somebody put some nice work in.
No doubt.
They sound good. And me, personally, I don't really care. I'm not really a music person. I just... Yeah. I don't know. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. And all three of those were fine with me. So we'll move on. Just like the Patriots are moving on. And I wanted to do a little bit of a recap here because it was a long weekend. Yesterday, Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
And a lot is kind of happening around this football team. You're reading a lot of names on Twitter or the Wire and different things. So I wanted to kind of recap. Interrupt if you guys need to. I'm just going to do a quick kind of the names that have been in the news here.
Yeah, go for it.
If you know somebody, you got a hot take on one of these names, because I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of them. A lot of them are guys that, you know, crossed Mike Vrabel's path at some point. So there's a defensive coordinator request in for Ryan Crowe, outside linebacker coach with the Dolphins. He was with the Titans from 2018 to 2023, a.k.a. the bulk of the Mike Vrabel era. Mike Reese, and we talked about it earlier, seems like he keeps touting Terrell Williams, who was with the Titans and most recently has been with the Lions as their D-line coach. Eagles inside linebackers coach Bobby King is a name that has been thrown around by Mike Reese. We also had the report that John Stryker, I believe,
has been hired.
Has been hired, although it's not official yet. But John Stryker, who sounds like he could Stryker, be the Stryker, next... Stryker. Ernie Adams, he's the right-hand man for Vrabel in Tennessee. He was the game management assistant for Sean McVay's Rams last year.
Wait, John Stryker was?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he spent a year with the Rams because Vrabel was out of work and that was his guy. And
he was essentially like an Ernie Adams?
Yes.
Fascinating.
So a smart guy around smart guys.
You need an Ernie Adams.
Yes.
But
you're never going to have Ernie Adams, I feel like, because, I mean, Ernie and Bill went to frickin' boarding school
together. It was a weird, like, symbiotic kind of relationship, and Ernie's, but no, there is no other Ernie Adams.
Did you guys get that out there?
But the point is, someone that knows in real time while the game's going on what the best plan of action, what do the odds say? Do we punt here? Do we go for it? What do we, you know, what is the strategy in these situations, in these kind of high,
high leverage situations.
Thank you. Situations in games, you need someone in your ear that knows what the hell to do, and somebody like that would be great for a Mike Vrabel.
And somebody that you trust, somebody that you care about. I mean, we saw it how many times, Fitzy, with, oh, are we going to go for two? Not go for two. Yeah. Are we going to punt? We're not going to punt.
They botched almost every critical high leverage situation, but. Wasn't there supposed to be...
Evan Rothstein.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to throw him under the bus.
No, but throw him under the bus. I mean, let's bring him out of the shadows, man. He was terrible at his job. I mean, the challenges...
Did he provide the prop? This is something we don't know.
Go ahead, ask the question, and I'm going to tell you the answer is no already.
Okay, so you
I like his style.
Good. Yeah.
I know where you're going, but go ahead.
This is how we get in the mind of a football player for those of us that want to know these things because we love the game so much. For like an Evan Rothstein Gerard Mayo relationship, did Rothstein provide the intel and Mayo just couldn't pull the trigger or didn't know what to do with it? Like, because he just, I think a lot of people thought that because you just sort of would see, like, you see D'Amico Ryan, speaking of Houston, there he is over there, high five and everyone, so fired up, getting into the calls, looks like he wants to go out there and make the tackle himself. Mayo was at times beyond stoic. It was almost expressionless. Like, he looked like, the Madame Tussauds Gerard Mayo out there over there in the sideline. You could never tell what was going on, what was coming in, and the way that he was relaying it or conveying it to his players.
Yeah, the communication from my vantage point looked really bad. Like you wondered, does Gerard go over at night? You know, to I'm sure Alex Van Pelt's office was pretty close to his. Just, I mean, a couple doors you got to walk down. Just going, hey, bud, you know, before the half. Let's try and get some points on the board. We got maybe a timeout or two. Don't run the football. Maybe, you know, let's be aggressive and maybe try and get some points. Like things that these problems that they would have before halftime, you would think that the head coach would go tell the offensive coordinator. I'm not so sure. And my feeling is I got the sense that Gerard literally let the offensive coordinator do whatever he wanted to do, the defensive coordinator do whatever he wanted to do, and he didn't inject his opinions or his philosophies. And so he was kind of, I think he was hands off, and I don't think that's a good thing.
Philosophy. You know? I think that was one of the things we batted back and forth all season. What the hell was the philosophy?
I'm not sure he had one. I'm not sure it's that he didn't share it. I don't think he knew it.
Again.
And it was like, huh? I guess Alex Van Pelt can do what he does because I don't really have a strong opinion. Yeah. Whereas your guy, Vrabel, he's going to tell you what he thinks.
Yeah.
We know that. Whether it's you, me, or whoever his coordinator is.
Did you hear the Tyler Lewan video that he put out there?
That was really good.
That was phenomenal.
Best coach break. I think more people were fired up for Mike Vrabel coming back to town as coach after watching that.
I don't know how you don't watch that and just feel the same thing. But the point he made in that video over and over again was how prepared his team was, how smart his team was. And that's the beauty. Like that's the Belichickian thing is the situational football awareness, knowing what to do, you know, not panicking. You know, our teams, gosh, I mean, we were in 03, 04, where we got really, really good at situational football. I mean, we all knew what to look for, what to do. We were so well coached. And Vrabes was out there, hey, watch the draw. Watch it, you know. And so the team's going to be a hell of a lot smarter. Vrabes isn't going to just be hands off and let his coordinators do whatever they want to do. He's going to make sure they do exactly what he wants them to do.
So just to finish up the recap, it looks like Jeremy Springer is going to stay on as the special teams coordinator.
He earned it. He deserves it.
He did. And not only for his play on the field, they were good on the field. He is one of the few people that actually handled the turmoil of the last month really well. If you go back and listen to his press conferences, his interviews with Jones and Keefe on this station, he handled the booing and the questions about job security like a professional. He didn't tell the fans to know their role and sit down. He didn't
Jelani
really fire
Tavai
back.
Thing? He was great about that.
Who was?
Springer was.
Oh, yeah. No, that's my point. He did it better than the head coach. He did it better than almost anybody. Yeah. So I like that he stays around. Scott Peters is gone, their offensive line coach. He's now with the Bengals.
That's good.
What do you mean, Strike Force Scott?
I'm sorry, man. You, dude. Most important unit on a football team is the offensive line. That in so, so it's the most important coaching position on a team.
And
is
he hadn't
offensive
done it.
Line coach.
He hadn't done it before, so it's not his fault.
Sorry, bro.
How are you supposed to make a steak dinner with a bag of beef jerky?
And there's some of that, but you know that they would have been. And this isn't fair because he's the greatest ever. But with Scar coaching, they would have been better. There, you wouldn't have had consecutive plays where you lined up improperly or consecutive plays where you false started. Like, Scar wouldn't have dealt with that crap, allowed that crap, and they let it happen. And then the last hire looks like it's coming from Tennessee, was with the New York Giants last year. Frank Pirano is going to be the strength and conditioning coach. He was with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Hey, it's a, you know, it's a position no one talks about, but one of the more important positions is the strength coach.
Absolutely.
I know that might sound weird, but trust me. That's a very, very important job.
And we also learned along the way that that guy, the head coach, the players, kind of all need to be working together. Because we went down the road of Moses Cabrera says this, but Brady's guy says this. And now we got the head coach who doesn't like the like you have to believe in the program for players to adhere to it, stay healthy, get stronger, be doing what they need to do. Yeah. So if he's comfortable with Vrabes, I think that's
it. Even got
hire.
So bad. Wasn't the reason why there was an issue with Jake Bailey before he got sent packing to Miami that he didn't want to squat?
Or, yeah. There was that, and there was another issue that we won't talk about on air. So 617-779-7937.
Now I'm interested.
Back to the phone lines. Let's go to David in Florida. He has a thought on maybe Josh McDaniels coming back yet again to the New England offense. What's up, David?
Good afternoon. Good to have you on board, Teddy. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll bring some intelligence
Okay.
That feels like a shot.
To the show.
I hope so,
feels like
too.
A shot at us, but okay. Thank you,
David. It was a shot at us, absolutely. David, what do you think about McDaniels?
So, yes. If you compare McDaniels to Chip Kelly, two things. I mean, first, McDaniels is a proven commodity. Chip Kelly, I mean, he failed miserably in the pros with the Eagles. And second of all, I know you were saying a little while ago, Teddy, that the college game is becoming much more of a factor in the NFL. But I think the offense at Ohio State, I just don't think that would transfer well to the Patriots with the running game and rush and the upcoming draft and everything. So I'd rather go with McDaniels.
All right, thanks for the call, David. And you're with, last we checked, it was 61%. And I do think there is a familiarity. People know Josh McDaniels was good here as an offensive coordinator.
And he was.
Don't ask Denver and Las Vegas about him because they hate him out there because he was a bad head coach. And remember the clips from Devontae Adams? I got to get the F out of here before I die in this offense.
Part of me felt that that was Garoppolo hospital balling him, though.
Yeah, but Garoppolo was
But at the same time, if you're going to give Josh his flowers, or at least say, like, yeah, he's done it many times and he's been able to adapt, I think as great as his work was in 2018, morphing from pass first to rush first, in 2020, that he was able to be a part of getting 7 wins out of that Cam Newton offense with the little talent they had.
Yeah.
Plus, in 2021, Andy, do you ever think anyone is ever going to see anything resembling those kind of stats from Michael McCorkle Jones again?
No.
It's all fair points. I mean, I don't know. It's fair point. I mean, when you see how bad Cam Newton threw the football, for them to get seven wins out of that team, you're right, and I agree. Josh, when you watch Josh call a game, I think you can watch a game and go, I see what he's trying to do here. I see where he sees the weaknesses. There's the calls are layered. There's a reason why he calls certain plays later in the game based on what he called her. So I am comfortable with that. I just, you know, I like what makes me nervous is, again, I just think Drake May, more college concepts need to be introduced into the philosophy, because I just think you see all the other quarterbacks and teams with mobile quarterbacks doing the same thing. And so I just look, he coached the best of all time, who basically made his living 5 yards behind the center. Drake May, I think, to get the best out of him, you got to move him around and do a lot of different things. So that's my only apprehension.
And Chip Kelly won 10-6 his first 2 years in Philly, 2013 and 14.
Yeah.
So I'm not one who sneezes at 10 wins in the NFL. That's impressive. And then you look at his offenses that year. And we're talking about him as an offensive coach, not a head coach.
Is that the Kevin Kolb era, by the way?
There was Kolb in there. There was...
Were those the teams where they were the super teams?
Well, one of them was...
2011, that was Nnamdi Asamoah saying that they were going to be a super
team. Well, no, that was Vince Young that said super team. The backup quarterback called it a super team.
And not,
the backup quarterback said super team. Dumb thing to say
for anybody. Nnamdi and Vince and all of them, and that did not work out well.
Their offenses in 2013 and 14 when he won 10 games. In 13, they were second in yards. In 14, they were fifth in yards. In 13, they were fourth in points. And in 14, they were third in points. They moved the ball and they scored points offensively.
Yeah.
So whatever you think of him as a head coach, and it petered out and he got fired, and that's fine. His offense was not nearly as good in San Francisco. They were 31st in yards in 2016 and 27th in points. But Oregon, Philly, Ohio State, like the guy can coach offense. He They're very similar. Mm-hmm. I think he and Josh are very similar. They're probably not head coaches, and they're good offensive minds. Now, what they'll get out of the personnel, what scheme you want, as you brought up, those are all the variables. Let's go back to the phone lines for one more call here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ed in Millbury. Ed, what do you think of our new co-host here on WEEI Afternoons?
Kenny, I remember the day you got drafted from Colorado.
Boy, I'm glad you knew. That was a long time ago. I'm not sure I remember. But that was 30 years ago, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions. Years ago, you said Bill Belichick coaches schemes. Bill Parcells coach players. Would you expound on that?
Well, sure.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ed.
No, I mean, you guys want to go down memory lane quickly? I'll go quick.
Sure.
It's always worth the scroll. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. I'll condense it so I don't get long-winded, but. Parcells was the best motivator. So again, I said earlier in the show, the two qualities I think that make up the perfect coach is a guy who can motivate, knows how to get the best out of his players, and then the one that knows how to just coach football and scheme and game plan and in-game management and make adjustments. Bill Parcells, the best motivator ever, got connected with a player on an individual level. You know, if you were a Parcells guy, which I like to think that I was. It was those players felt a relationship with Parcells that you would have done anything for him. And to me, that's football's an emotional game. Look, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Belichick, emotionless, doesn't connect with his players, but will scheme and manage and have you prepared better than any other coach. So there's two ways to do it, and they were very, very different stylistically. My favorite style, and I only had Parcells for 2 years, but I mean, we went to the Super Bowl in his last year here, in my second year. So, you know, I like to think that if Bill Parcells had Tom Brady as his quarterback, that we would have won just as many Super Bowls.
So when Teddy Bruschi says on the Sunday when the news is about to come out on ESPN that he believes that Mike Vrabel is more Parcells than Belichick, you agree?
I do. I would say his personality and his gregariousness, his authenticity, how real he is, and the way he talks to his players is very, very similar to how Bill Parcells does it. The Belichick stuff, he's smart like Bill, but his more predominant character traits are more Parcellian than they are Belichickian.
And I would say if we get some sort of averaging out of Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, if that's what he is...
To me, that's the perfect
combination. We'll be doing okay.
There you go, brother.
Certainly, it's an upgrade from... And I don't want to take pot shots, smear campaign on the way out of town, but it's an upgrade from what you got from Gerard Mayo. He was fast-tracked. He was ill-prepared, whatever you want to call it. 617-779-7937. We are talking Patriots. We're talking coaching staff. And next segment, after we get a tremendous trending from Dan Ball, we're going to get into the NFL's officiating problem. Do they have a problem when it comes to what fans think of Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, and the calls that team gets? This is a topic that sounds familiar from the last quarter of a century here in New England. WEEI Afternoons rolls along right after Trending Now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Some Patriots news and notes from the day. The team is targeting Lions defensive line coach Terrell Williams to be their new defensive coordinator under Mike Vrabel, sources tell CBS Sports. Before Detroit, Williams was Vrabel's defensive line coach and assistant head coach with the Tennessee Titans. The team has also put in a request to interview Dolphins outside linebackers coach Ryan Crow for their defensive coordinator vacancy. Crow notably coached under Mike Vrabel for the Titans from 2018 through 2023. And with New England sporting the number two special teams unit in the NFL this past season, special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer will remain on the staff under Vrabel, according to NFL Media's Ian Rappaport. In national NFL news, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson has agreed to a deal to become the Chicago Bears' next head coach, and the Colts are hiring former Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo to take over the same duties in Indianapolis. The conference championships are on Sunday, and WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. The Bruins and Celtics were both winners on Monday. The Bees doubled up the San Jose Sharks at TD Garden yesterday afternoon 6-3. Charlie Coyle had two goals, including the game winner. Boston visits New Jersey tomorrow night. The Celtics, meanwhile, dominated the Golden State Warriors 125-85 on the road on Monday night. It was Golden State's most lopsided home loss since 1985. Boston visits the LA Clippers tomorrow night. Being more healthy, eating better, losing weight, are you accomplishing your New Year's goal? It's 10 times easier with help. Do it, Andy Hart, Rod Bradford, Chris Scheim, and over 23,000 others have done. Find your results at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Baldwin. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson coming up right after this.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Here's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a runner, and I could not disagree with that one more. And he barely gets hit. That's the second penalty now that's been called against the Texans.
And Troy, I agree with you. There's no forcible contact to the head neck area of him. The two Houston players hit each other. That should not have been a foul.
And if you, hey, they've got to address it in the offseason. You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with defenders and then be able to draw a penalty.
That is Troy Aikman, and he is, I think, every Patriots fan and a lot of NFL fans in general watching what took place with Patrick Mahomes in that game the other day.
I couldn't believe he said it.
See,
I love
so
it.
So clearly, so succinctly.
He's tiptoed in that area before, and it's weird because you think of him as a quarterback. He's going to see everything from a quarterback perspective, protect his guys, whatever. But I think the key is he's an old school quarterback. He took his licks. He took his hits.
Yeah,
his career got shortened because of it. Everything. But I think he looks at the game as a certain type of game that he was proud to play. And I'm just reading into what he comments on here. And this is becoming weird. That's just the way I look at it. And Patrick Mahomes is the lightning rod. And we're here back on WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson. Patrick Mahomes is the lightning rod because he's the best player on the best team and all of that. Josh Allen has weird plays where he flops and he tries to sell things on the sideline.
Oh, not like Mahomes, though.
No, see, and I agree with you, but that's the perception. And, I mean, you know who I thought was one of the worst at it? I thought Mac Jones was one of the worst at it. He used to try to sell everything. He would do the Mahomes slow down on the sideline and brace so you can hit me and hit me here.
I just thought he was that slow.
He tried to do it.
You're right. How many calls did he get?
None. Because he didn't reach the level.
Because he's Mac
100%.
Jones.
And in fact, if anything, he was kind of a cheap dink about stuff like with Brian Burns and who was that? Eli Apple, who he tried to take out.
He was a dirty player. But the reality is part of playing quarterback now is thinking about stealing plays, right? In a certain way. Even going back to the Kenny Pickett fake slide when he was at Pitt, and then they banned the fake slide because he started to go down, and then he kept right on running, ran by a guy probably like you, who was like, oh, I'm not going to kill you. You're sliding, and now you get to run by me and embarrass me and score a touchdown.
Yeah,
I actually thought Brady did it to Brian Urlacher back in the day. I thought Urlacher was going to go easy on him, and Brady took advantage.
Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't unbelievable, but I think he just I don't know if he just got lucky on the
and he may have.
I think what I like about Troy saying that it feels like Mahomes is just taking advantage of the rules and taking advantage of how refs call games when he's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't feel right. I mean, if you didn't watch that game, guys. And think the same thing Troy Aikman thought, then I don't know if I can talk sports with you because it felt – and those were – so the Willie Anderson hit to the helmet that when they slowed it down in replay, he did – in real time, it looked like –
Absolutely.
But if you look at it when they slowed it down, you also saw Patrick Mahomes embellish his head.
Oh, of course.
Like it was going backwards
to
make it look in real time like it was a real helmet to – and they're told that even if it looks like helmet to helmet, even though it might not be – still call the flag. The next play was a big gainer to Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. It was a huge momentum call.
Right.
And so, look, when Troy Aikman is kind of had enough and he's calling out the refs, then I feel like if you're going to, you know, whining about it, then I think you got some issues because clearly I think the rules are different for Patrick Mahomes than they are other quarterbacks.
I would say yes to some degree, but that's been going on forever too. I always thought Cam Newton got killed. I thought Cam Newton, for whatever reason, I don't know whether it was size, I don't know whether it was race or the way he played, because he did kind of play like a fullback. There were all those
shoulders.
But he's still a quarterback when he stands in the pocket, and he didn't get the protections that other quarterbacks got. So they've always kind of picked and choosed who they give the stars get the calls in all sports.
But what quarterback other than Mac Jones does what Patrick Mahomes does. Looks for opportunities to embellish, to take advantage of
my guy Josh Allen.
I like Patrick Mahomes does?
Absolutely. If you watch, there's times where a guy will touch him and he does the what you're talking about. Throw the head back and flail.
Someone did it this weekend that was particularly egregious that wasn't Mahomes. All right, so someone who's watching right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEI, KGabriel317 says, how about the idea that flopping could be something that could be reviewed
as
well.
Sure. I love it.
Embellishment in hockey, right? You got embellishment.
Well, they have it in the NBA now.
Right.
Like, if a guy flops or, you know, actually, they're supposedly now in the NBA, you don't see as much as I was hoping, they can call a penalty on the guy that flops.
Right,
sure.
I want the NFL to start doing that. I think that would be a good thing.
But the problem you have is, and I'm not arguing necessarily, it feels like I'm arguing against you, Ted. I'm not necessarily arguing for Patrick Mahomes' style of play because I hate it. But the reality is they're going to protect quarterbacks because they're the cash cows, right? Like, they're the superstars, and we all see these teams that we lose interest in when the backup quarterback comes in, right? Like, you want star quarterbacks on the field. So the league starts with, I think, that mentality. How do we protect quarterbacks? How do we keep quarterbacks safe? How do we keep quarterbacks on the field? And in doing so, you open up the loophole that you're talking about. You open up quarterbacks' ability to take advantage of their protected status, I guess, is how I'd say it.
Yeah, I guess I just...
And I get your pain, because...
I don't mind protecting quarterbacks. I get it. Like, look, we want to see good quarterback play, but I don't like quarterbacks that take advantage of those rules.
But they all do.
I don't know, maybe.
Brady did. Do you remember, you might not remember this, and I don't know what year, because I don't have a great memory either for whatever reason. Ray Lewis was called for a flag, and he didn't even really graze Brady, but Brady went down and did the look to the ref, like,
very different
flail.
That was fall of 2010.
Because it's after the play, he wants the flag. You know how many times Peyton did that?
Right, my point. They all find ways to do it.
After the play's done, they're bitching to the refs about, why didn't you call that a penalty? I'm talking about the guys during the moment of the play. They are trying to contort their body in a way that, you know, embellish the hit and try and draw a flag. Like soccer players all the time are like falling down. Acting like they're getting tripped in the offensive zone so that they get a free penalty kick. That's what these quarterbacks are doing, and I don't like that part.
So and we get where you have your biases because, well, to be honest, you're a middle linebacker.
but you can say I'm biased, but then Troy Aikman, who played quarterback position, is also
he's just tired of seeing the game played a particular way that he doesn't believe is necessarily fair to all parties.
It's not fair. It's already a hard game for the defensive players, and then you make it even harder when you call those BS calls against those phantom hits.
The worst is that run down the sideline.
No, he doesn't.
That's the part. If you told me that Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders is trying to do this, I'd be like, dude's got three wins. He's trying to get a fourth win somehow. Yeah. This is a guy that's going to win 15 games every year, Patrick Mahomes. 15 games. He's going to go to the Super Bowl. He doesn't need to be doing this, but then some would argue that he's almost Belichickian. He's going to look for any loophole, any advantage. If he can get a 1% advantage by slowing down on the sideline and he gets one 15-yard penalty, that might be the hidden yards. We heard all these words from Bill for years. Those might be the hidden yards that he looks at as – that could decide my season, my game, my Super Bowl count total, my rings. Yeah. So, but my question, how do you fix it? How do you stop the direction that it's trending with quarterbacks in general? I'll tell you, my son's done it. Was a high school quarterback. Like, I'm on the far side of the field. It's like, wow, that kid really threw you down out of bounds. And he's like, yeah, he gave me a little tug, and I may have went with it a little bit. You know why? Because he's like, if I get 15 yards here, we're not on midfield anymore. We're on the 35. This is pervasive in quarterback play, pros, college, and high school. You see it everywhere. So how do you fix it?
Call penalties.
But what's the penalty? There's no such penalty. Patrick Mahomes stopping on the sideline. He has every right in the world, if he wants to,
stop
on the sideline.
Adjust the rule.
Not even make it a penalty, make it reviewable, and then just pick up the flag. There's no penalty, it's reviewable. You go back, you look at it, you slow it down, you realize that he embellished, and you go, you know what? We threw the flag, we're picking the flag up. So there's no penalty, it's just you go on to the next play.
And that's my thing. Because I've been an advocate. I've gotten into a big fight with Christian in the previous version of the show, Christian Arcan, I said from day one, quarterback shouldn't slide. Put yourself in harm's way. When you do the late slide, the Ted Johnson of the world is already an object in motion.
Yeah.
And science says he can't stop.
Especially when I've left my feet.
Right. And so we're a yard and a half, 2 yards away.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you. Oh, you slide late. Nothing I can do. And I think quarterbacks, it's dumb. So quarterbacks, I think, need to take some sort of a responsibility for their own, the way they carry themselves. And if I'm a ref, and I believe you're doing sliding late intentionally, or I believe you're embellishing, I'm just not going to call it. But I need support from the league. I can't have them, you know, downgrading me as an official so I don't get certain games. You need to let the refs. I've always said unnecessary roughness should be the most important penalty in football. Whatever a ref deems, I don't need him to say, well, the rule states that if you take 1.5 steps more than if the ref who's standing 3 feet from the play says, that was unnecessary. We don't need that in our game. We're asking our game not to have unnecessary roughness. Give him the ability to make that call. Like, you pay these guys a boatload of money to control the game, right? Like, you pay on every one of these guys $250K a year, whole crew of them. Let them actually adjudicate the play.
It's a drop in the bucket compared to what's at stake to winning and losing.
Sure.
So to me, it's protect the referees. You know, like, I don't want to all of a sudden turn into, you know, baseball where you got machines calling balls a strike. But on that particular, that's such a big play that goes in favor of that team that you call the penalty on, that goes against the team that you call the penalty on, that I think it should be reviewable. I think unnecessary hits to the helmet, unnecessary roughness calls on quarterbacks, because it's such a bang-bang play, they're going to err on the side of caution and they're going to call a penalty, and that's what they're going to do, and it's not right, so review it. And decide then, after you reviewed it, whether or not it was a penalty or not.
And that was the Belichick idea. Mm-hmm. Everything's reviewable. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. Penalty, non-penalty. Because there was one in the Philly game. Was it the Philly or the Lions game with the phantom face mask? The guy's head spun, but there was no face mask. The linebacker reached across, grabbed his far shoulder pad, pulled him. The ref saw whatever he saw from his angle.
That's funny because they missed an awful lot of face masks this year.
Well, they also stink, you know.
Yes.
That's my bottom line, and I don't know how you feel. You probably respect the officials more than I do as a player, but I think
they have a hard job.
They have a very hard job, but they stink.
I think they have a hard job.
They stink at a hard job for some reason. They stink, and it drives me nuts at all levels, and that's a different topic for a different day. 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the phone lines. Kevin in the car has a thought on what's going on in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. What's up, Kevin?
Always gonna they're out there.
Always.
It's the first week. You know what the funny thing is? They always think they're the first person that ever has that thought and the funniest person in the room.
Yeah. No, it was
and in this room there's three funny people. So
it wasn't funny 20 years ago, it's not funny now.
No.
So back to the whole protecting the referees thing, just like when you say the best way to do this is to protect the referees, so wouldn't that in this case actually give them a little more power to be able to call penalties or ask for reviews
on
all the penalties? Because the one that is the most frustrating to me is the running down the sideline and the use of the world. Pull up because you don't want to get lit up for a
Go for it. Say it.
Because you're Pittsburgh. I know it was at Pittsburgh playoff game.
Andy, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Cordell Stewart.
Down the sideline. This has been going on for a while.
That was what he's talking about is, I think it was 97 or 98. We were playing the Steelers. Okay. And Cordell Stewart was their quarterback. And it was in the first quarter. The week before, I think my buddy Todd Collins, I played inside linebacker with, we called it the $7,500 blitz, where we do a cross A blitz. I go first, and then the second guy come looping around, gets a free shot at the quarterback. I take the center, and then he comes around, and he hits the quarterback the week before, finds $7,500. So when then we go play the Steelers the following week, he has a chance to hit Cordell Stewart right on the sideline, and he pulls up a little bit, and Cordell darts it inside, runs for a touchdown. That was the only touchdown they had. We lost the game 7-6.
Yep.
And that's a great call right there. So you're right. It's been going on, but it's more egregious now than it's ever been, though, Andy. But you're right. That was a good example of kind of when that stuff started.
Yeah, no, and that's when they started realizing probably the value of the quarterbacks and the athletes and the money and the attention and TV. And, you know, nobody wants to see a backup quarterback. Remember there was a a weekend a couple of years ago. I want to say, did the Raiders and the Texans play and both had backup quarterbacks?
Wasn't last year the year, though, that 65 yes. different quarterbacks started? Yes.
Right, during
brutal.
The regular. But you can't avoid injury in the regular season.
Are we talking?
Yeah, there was a playoff game that I think was two backups. It was at least one. And nobody wants to see that. They want to see the stars. There's a reason these guys get $250, $300 million contracts and all that. And that's where I don't ever like to be an apologist for the NFL. I just don't know how you. I think it has to be done on the field where the ref just flat out doesn't call it, looks the other way. And guess what? Patrick Mahomes. I think when he takes a big pop to the head and looks around and there's no yellow anywhere, he goes, I'm going to treat that differently next time because I don't want too many pops to the head.
You know what? You could almost do it that way. Do it in a sense that, you know, sometimes how they do it when a team, was that a fumble? I'm not sure. You know what? Don't blow your whistle. Don't stop the play. Let the play play out.
Right.
And then go back and look to see if it was a fumble. Almost do it the same way with hits
to
the helmet.
The most antiquated rule in the world, Ted, has to be the whole like, oh, sorry, they blew it dead. Well, who gives an S? Just go back and review the damn thing and get it right. Don't screw somebody because of the, you know, was it 10 years ago, the preemptive, someone accidentally blew a whistle in a Buffalo game and negated like a touchdown or a big catch by Danny Amendola. Like, sorry, somebody blew the whistle. Who cares? Why should that matter?
Well, I mean, there gets into, did guys stop playing that?
No, but the whistles, once you hear a whistle as a player, you stop.
You're supposed to stop.
That's,
and the officials will tell you. So a little insight to me. I was thinking about becoming a high school football official. I took the whole class and everything, but then this job gets in the way. But all the officials are like, oh, you're going to blow your whistle when you don't mean to. I don't care if you're the worst official or the best, you're going to have just random whistles, and you're going to be like,
My bad.
You're going to want to crawl under a rock. You're going to want. But the reality
is, I hope they don't make it to the NFL. No offense to those guys.
Right. But some of them do. Yeah. Some of them do. Because they, there's bad officials at all levels. And that's where I do think they are in a tough spot. And because it's like, you don't want to let Patrick Mahomes take a hit that you don't flag. And then he's knocked out of the game. And the league's like, wait a minute. The five-time MVP Super Bowl champion. Yep. I'm watching his backup. I got Carson Wentz in the Super Bowl because you didn't throw a flat.
I hope and I feel like the NFL does a good job of tinkering, trying new things.
Agreed.
Adjusting rules. You know, I mean, just
sending a games unnecessarily to Brazil.
They're not perfect, but I'm just saying they're tweaking the rules. They want to make it more interesting. They're changing the kickoff. They move back the extra point. They're trying to do things. They hear us. And so I think they're open to change. And so let's just keep talking about it. And hopefully that eventually. But right now, the way the rules are, it does get a little frustrating, particularly if you're a Pats fan, because I think the rules are, you disagree. I think they're a little bit different for Patrick Mahomes versus other quarterbacks. That's my opinion on it.
They might be, but I also think it's because he is the Tom Brady, the Peyton Manning of the time. The other issue we have here, and we'll get to this on the other side, is you mentioned it earlier when you were talking about who you wanted as an offensive coordinator. There's more mobile quarterbacks than ever. There's more guys that can run, can get into position where, am I going to slide? Am I going to go out of bounds? Mm-hmm. Right, back in the day, Cordell Stewart, Randall Cunningham, there was a handful. Now it feels like every team has a QB who can run if he wants to.
Absolutely.
So if you're a referee, you're dealing with it from both teams all game long. Yep. Is he going to run? Is he protected? Is he a runner? Because that's the other thing. You go down the road of headshots to, he's a runner once he leaves the pocket. If he lowers down and lowers his head, it's just like he's a running back, Corey Dillon. But so there's a lot of gray areas there with the running quarterbacks. 617-779-7937. We do have, for the first time all show, a couple open lines if you want to join the conversation. WEEI Afternoons rolls along. We're talking Patriots. We're talking NFL Divisional Weekend with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs advancing. And we're going to talk about a little bit of scuttlebutt that maybe Josh McDaniels is becoming a fait accompli. That's a fancy way of saying he's going to get the job. 617-779-7937. Ted Johnson, Fitzy, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons rolls on.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
He's obviously got great size, really athletic. I don't know where he'll fit in the whole, the style he'll play with.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how that develops. Like, is he going to be a little bit of a runner like Josh Allen was in Buffalo? I don't think he's quite as big as Josh is, but, like, you know, guys like that that have those kind of attributes, you can use them to run the football too, you know? And so I don't think we've seen all that yet in the preseason, but I'm interested to see when he plays if he becomes a little bit more of a dual threat guy or if he's just a pocket passer and a big, tall, strong guy in the pocket. But the games I've seen, he's, you know, he's done a good job.
That is former Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels on the Games with Names and podcast. Ted Johnson's really enjoying this music right now.
Oh, kidding me?
Am I supposed to know what this is?
Pearl Jam, you baby.
Come on, Andy.
This is a great jam.
New man. Show, same shtick. All the other hosts bully Andy because he doesn't know the music.
That's all good, though. It's
just not hip-hop enough for you, Andy.
Arcan used to bully me because I didn't know the hip-hop. Now you guys will bully me because I don't know the...
I'm the same way, buddy. Don't sweat it. You and me he just played a song from my favorite band is all. So that I got lucky.
Well, Ted, Andy's a big country guy. George Strait.
Who doesn't love George Strait?
See, now we're
George Strait. That's I like country when country wasn't cool back in the early. That's George Strait's from the 80s.
Damn right.
Urban Cowboy. You talk about one of the best soundtracks for country.
He was my favorite concert of all time, and most people would probably think it's boring because all he does is stand in the middle of the stage with his guitar and sing.
With that, if you want big old black hat and
that is technically a concert.
No, I know, but yeah, Garth Brooks is smashing things and swinging, and Pink.
Is there anybody cooler than George Strait?
The coolest.
He's the coolest cat, man.
Thank you. We're cool now. Okay, Fitzy, you can proceed. Go ahead.
No, I'm square.
Oh.
What's that?
You have a what?
The, as far as, I had a question for Ted. Yes, Ted, I know we're doing the Stiz Quiz at 5:30.
Uh-oh.
Yes,
I'm nervous.
You know the original name of Pearl Jam. Which former NBA player were they originally named after?
Can I guess?
Yes, and you
can be his lifeline.
Okay.
I don't know the answer. I know, yes, it's an interesting, is he from, and when he played for Seattle Supersonics?
He played for the Hawks, wore the number 10.
Yeah, it's
a
weird
name, though.
And
that was why they named their big album 10. Yes, Andy, go ahead, be his lifeline.
Oh, I don't want to guess anymore. I didn't know that was... with more information. Oh. Mookie Blaylock.
Boom. Who gave you that?
Nobody.
You got
it? Right off the top of my head. Yeah. Or from the speaker that is attached to my head.
What the hell?
It's called my headphones.
You can't even just let him sink or swim on his own?
He throws me a 20 once a week to help him out.
Sometimes I need a little bit of help. Interestingly, though, Josh McDaniels talking about Drake May. That was back when he was unemployed. Just, you know, shooting the poo with Edelman in the spring, talking about this guy, Drake May.
Now, collecting his money.
According to Mass Live, and he's still collecting money, and that might help him get the job because he's a cheaper hire, theoretically. According to Mass Live, Josh McDaniels has indeed interviewed for the Patriots offensive coordinator job with Mike Vrabel.
That's the first concrete kind of news that's come out about it.
Yeah, because we've all been connecting the dots, and although the dots aren't direct dots, I guess, because McDaniels was a coach when Vrabel was a player. It's not like he worked on the same coaching staff with Vrabel anywhere.
Right.
He was already a young coach when Vrabel was still a linebacker. You knew Josh McDaniels as a young up-and-coming coach who was behind Charlie and then with Brady and the whole evolution of the offense.
Yep. He was holding the cards of practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
working his way up.
It's interesting, and obviously it's going to be very different because Bill Belichick's not the head coach anymore. All those other jobs that Josh held here, Bill Belichick was the guy overseeing everything, and clearly Bill liked Josh, respected Josh. I mean, when he came back from Denver and then St. Louis and that whole thing, Bill talked about him in a kind of a weird way. Like, oh, now we can have conversations because he's been a head coach. You know, we're on the same level, kind of. We see things the same.
And he doesn't talk like that about anybody, ever.
No, it really stuck out to me the way he kind of put Josh on a pedestal of respect. Saban, he would talk about that way. Yeah. There's a few guys.
Very few.
But Josh, after he got back from Denver and was still, I don't even know if he was 40 yet. He was still pretty young when he came back from Denver.
Wait, he was very, because after Denver, he was there for a year and a half, got fired, went to, in 2011, Spagnuolo's Rams.
Sucked.
Stunk.
Yeah.
And then joined the Patriots that
still
postseason.
Still really young.
What was his role with the Rams? Was he offensive coordinator?
He was the offensive coordinator. Okay. Debacle. Okay. Wasn't good. Bradford. It was just a bad year. But Josh McDaniels, we've speculated a lot about the name over the last few weeks and even months here on this show. I think we may have been the first people to bring up the idea that Josh McDaniels might be the next offensive coordinator.
You're the first.
And then last week we interviewed Schefter, and I asked him to just handicap the field. Who could be the Patriots offensive coordinator? And the only name he mentioned was Josh McDaniels. And I'm like, Schefter, you got the whole league to pull from. Give me. Nope, it was just McDaniels. So I do think there's a good chance that Josh McDaniels is going to be the next offensive coordinator here. So, Fitzy, what's good about that? What's bad about that?
Josh McDaniels brings back familiarity, of course, hearkening back to your dynastic days. He's a comfort factor to Mike Vrabel because, of course, he played when Josh McDaniels helped co-pilot the greatest offense in the history of the NFL. And there is the aforementioned malleability of the game plan offense, which he is looking to have improved in this past offseason where he was not coaching at all after getting dismissed from the Las Vegas Raiders. The unfortunate downside to it is that people think that the franchise is now reaching back for the past once again. I'll even read you this tweet that I just read moments ago from at Bryson2047. The Patriots, the extent to which the Crafts want everything to be Bill Belichick adjacent without being Bill Belichick, give me the Belichick Patriots, just hold the Belichick. I would say the majority of Patriots fans, like your poll, would be mostly on the positive side of Josh McDaniels. Yeah, he'll be great with Drake May. Look what he did with Mac. My God, look what he squeezed out of Cam. He and Brady were just like this. That's great. There are people that want to see different.
Why? Because they just want to see different.
I'm not saying they think there are people that want to see Mike LaFleur or they want to see this Grant Udinski because they want to see something that doesn't look like what they've seen before and again and over and in the past. To which I say, but if it works,
this people need to realize it won't look like the same thing.
No, it won't.
You have a different quarterback than you have.
Oh yeah, the whole damn team is different. They may even change the uniforms this fall.
I'm okay with Josh. Look, I have no problem with Josh coming here and being the OC. I don't want him near the head coaching job, but as an OC, I think he'll adapt and he'll be fine. Like we know Josh from the perspective of what he did with Mac Jones, Cam Newton, and Tom Brady. Drake May is different from all those guys, and he's got a unique skill set. I think he's got a special skill set. Like Cam Newton could run, but he couldn't throw. Tom Brady could throw, but he couldn't run. Drake May can run. He can throw. I think he's creative. I think he's got special attributes. I think he's I think he'll be the most talented, unique prospect Josh McDaniels has ever coached. And if my memory serves me correct, there's a couple of players in the past that he was linked to the Patriots maybe wanting to draft. If you can remember a draft.
Oh, like Lamar?
Like Lamar. And another one, maybe Baker Mayfield is more of a pocket quarterback.
They wanted to trade up to number two to get him in 18.
Let's just say that those true. Those are different style of quarterbacks that he reportedly liked and wanted back then. So it tells me he's going to be fine with a quarterback like a Drake May, something different than he's ever coached. I don't think he's going to have that big of an issue with it because I think he's always coveted those types of quarterbacks. So I'm okay with this if this is what's going to end up happening.
And I continue to say he's too young to rest on his laurels, Josh McDaniels. If he really wants to keep coaching for a long period of time at 48, you know, if he wants to get another 20 years out of it, he needs to evolve with the times, evolve with the quarterbacks, right? Like, don't just say, I did this with Brady in 04, and damn it, you're doing it with Brady with my offense now.
If I'm Josh, I'm trying to make a kind of reinvigorate my legacy because a lot of people say, well, that was Brady, wasn't you? You know,
right.
It was Bill.
He had two horrible, horrible stints as head coach. So I think just his coaching legacy could use a boost.
And second
just,
one was worse.
Which was shocking was worse. To me. Yeah. It kind of was worse. Just real quick, because we're up against it, but we started this conversation with you about coaches and having to be smart and do the different things they need to do to succeed. You were around Josh McDaniels. Does he have the base knowledge-based skills that you believe can be a good coach now as he evolves as a coach?
As an offensive coordinator all day, every day.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be the head coach anywhere near head coaching, but I think he's a tremendous offensive mind, and he'd be a good head offensive coordinator.
And luckily, we have a head coach named Mike Vrabel who can oversee it all and let Josh just kind of do his thing offensively.
Just let Josh do his thing.
Evolve,
yep.
Coach Drake May,
yep.
And continue to develop Drake May, because for better or worse, both your careers will be tied to how good Drake May is. Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, if he indeed gets the job. We have the reports, thanks to Mass Live. Josh McDaniels has interviewed for the Patriots' open offensive coordinator job. WEEI Afternoons here, heading into the 5 o'clock hour, and that means one thing. We continue to talk a little NFL. We continue to take your calls, 617-779-7937, but we are less than a half hour away from what most people tell us is the best part of the show, and that's Quiz with Stiz. Ted Johnson making his virgin voyage. Quiz with Stiz, up next, WEEI Afternoons.